Tokyo, Australia, Germany, Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go at a minute past the hour on this, the 12th day of May, 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to jump into the Horn chat room. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/chat room, where you will be met by Jug of Punch and Stockton Larry and longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That's where all the happening real-time multimedia extravaganza madcap merriment takes place during these three live hours of the program each and every night. More folks will be wandering in presently as we stand not upon ceremony, neither do we punish people for being tardy. Okay? Okay. This is The Horn. It is something that we like to call independent listener-supported conversation radio, and we find ourselves in a, well, you know, in a hole. Hello? Yeah, echo is a little bit more than it was last night because we're a little deeper into the hole. Uh-huh. Is it still daylight up there? I can't really tell. I can't see the sun from down here. It might be midnight for all I know. Yeah. Fundraising's been kind of tough for the last couple of weeks. And so we find ourselves in a $610 fundraising conundrum hole, really deep barrel crevasse at the bottom of the ocean kind of, you know, thingy. Uh-huh. $610. Right. And just a minute. Yeah, there, okay. Okay, one more handhold, and, oh, look, daylight! It's a little scary down there. No, it's really scary. There's spiders and creepy, crawly things, and, God, if we get much deeper, I'm afraid we're going to hit a layer of frack gas, and, but that's where we are, $610 fundraising hole, one at 610, two at 305, four at, oh dear God, $151.25. Yeah, 10 at 61, 61 at 10, 20 at $30.50. You get the idea. If you would like to help out, the Contribute tab is at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com under the tab curiously marked Contribute. That's the PayPal interface. It's also the credit card interface. Sadly, it's not, well, I mean, that's all it is. And so, consequently, well, you just put in your name, your address. You can leave out that that business about you know, what you do and when you do it and all of that stuff. You can leave that blank. Just get to the next screen. If you prefer to use the United States Postal Service, Boss Man Wayne would be thrilled to pieces to hear from you. The mailing address for checks and money orders is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, W-V, 25801. And we will, we'll all be tickled because it means we get to stay on the air. There are bills pending, and I wish we could run this on, I wish I could just win the lottery or something. But it takes listener support to keep this all going. You know, we're not selling you anything, no sweaty prayer hankies or anything like that. We're not a religious organization that's praying off the public good. We're a little family community congregation that wants to see, you know, people have a place to talk and converse and share ideas and seek solutions. And we try to raise $200 a night, so when we get to the point where the fundraising goal is at $610, that gives you an idea about what's been going on with the $200 a night kind of thing. And some of which is a self-inflicted wound. I mean, Friday and Tuesday, that's my fault. But still, we gotta, you know, pay bills. And I hate even talking about this stuff, but it has to be talked about. So there's that. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and this here is Thorn in the Side Thursday. Thorn in the Side Thursday is reserved for those particular moments in right-wingery that make us just sort of, you make those kind of noises, right? And we've got a lovely selection of them, and I wanted to share one in particular with you, simply because... Well, let me back up. Before we do that, I want to return to something that I mentioned in conversation with our pal, the Angry Indian, last night. And last night, of course, was prayer meeting. And if you pay any attention to the right-wing religion industry, who does, in fact, sit there and dine off the flesh of the public commons, as it were, if you spend any time at all listening to those freaks, you will hear them say things like, America is in a moral crisis. America has lost its way on the compass of its ethical direction. And such drivel as that. Oh, thank you very kindly, Thomas, at FYINation.com. Got you loud and clear. And hopefully we won't get smited by the storm and wrath of God because, you know, climate change isn't a thing. Of course it's not. But, so, you know, that's what you hear the preacher types say. And if you're not familiar with them, and if you're a progressive person, a person with a functioning moral compass and ethical center and those things that the religion industry likes to talk about, but that you don't have to have to, in order to, that you don't have to follow any particular version or religion or any to have, you can just have it because you're a human living out a life on this, an all too finite life on this sweet little blue-green marble hurtling in a sort of spiral, helical pattern through the universe. If you've never heard it before, you go, yeah, you know what? Looking around me, I think you may be right, fellas. We have lost our way. Our ethical compass is no longer pointing to true north. Our moral center has become unmoored and is just sort of floating around, and it's not even really a center anymore. But then you keep listening to the freaks, and they say, and how do we know we have lost our way? Our ethical moral center has become unmoored. Well, it's because the homosexuals can get married. And it's because the vagina people are rampantly ripping precious little babies out of their hoo-hoos. And you go, oh, stop. Oh, hold on a minute there, Cephas. And one, you realize that they're a bunch of bigoted, ignorant freaks. two, you realize that they would not recognize a moral center if they were dropped in the middle of one. And that crowd defines the very essence of ethical bankruptcy. Oh, I'm sorry, you've got less than zero, right. Because there is some truth in the statement that this, at least I think there is, that we have lost our way, that we have become unmoored, that we have lost, that we somehow or another, at least as manifested by things that the government of we, the people of the United States, trying to form that more perfect union, do. What do I mean? Well, if we just start talking about it, we'll have a list that is frankly miles long. But well, that one thing keeps sticking in my craw. And it's the story from yesterday about how the Obama administration gave a Distinguished Service Award to Henry Kissinger. And I'm still not okay with it. Because it means that we as a government, we really are found wanting in terms of an appreciation of anything resembling morality. I guess it's in a way beneficial that by virtue of her having touted him as her buddy, her mentor, her pal, her chum, Hillary Clinton put a bit of a spotlight back on Henry Kissinger. And you know, I've been working really, really hard because of a suggestion I received. I've been really working really, really hard not to use the F-bomb on the program because the statement made was, you know, Bob, you're so much better when you work without it, and you know, let others do that, but you know, your genius is in your wit and your wisdom. And I took that to heart, so I don't use it very often. I try not to use it at all. I mean, there's really no novelty in it. I mean, it's the internet; you can say anything you want to. But I gotta tell you, I have a real hard time saying Henry and Kissinger without saying fucking in the middle of it. Henry fucking Kissinger. And the fact that the Obama administration at the Defense Department gave that nonagenarian, bloodthirsty monster a Distinguished Service Award? I mean, it's not the same as giving him a Laurel and Hardy handshake. It's not the gold watch that you... Yeah, okay, so, you know, the manager was kind of a jerk, but he served the company loyally for 50 long years, so we're going to give him a gold watch even though he was a prick. This isn't that. Henry goddamn Kissinger has the blood of millions on his hands. Henry Kissinger is a name that should be said in the same breath with Adolf Hitler and Pol Pot and Joseph Stalin and Dick Cheney. I was thinking about this earlier today in conjunction with the fact that this is, in fact, Thorn in the Side Thursday. And I don't remember being as morally, ethically offended by anything. And there's plenty to be morally, ethically offended about, and maybe that's an indictment of me myself. But I don't remember being as offended, morally and ethically offended about anything in the recent past as I am about the fact that we gave a Distinguished Service Award to Henry fucking Kissinger. Jesus! You know what? I think it's only fair that we give Henry fucking Kissinger a world appreciation tour. Now that he's gotten his Distinguished Service Award for all the people that he helped slaughter, let's send him to Vietnam and let him get that country's Distinguished Service Award. And if he can leave with his innards still in his belly, let's let him move on to Cambodia and get their Distinguished Service Award. And if he can leave there with his toes and his fingers still attached to his body, let's send him to Laos and let him get their Distinguished Service Award. And when they're done, maybe we can send him to East Timor. And if he's got elbows when they're done with giving him their Distinguished Service Award, let's send him to Argentina and Chile and let them give him their Distinguished Service Awards. And when he's done receiving his world tour of Distinguished Service Awards, let's send what's left of Henry Kissinger back home to the United States, where we can, I don't know, stick him in a goddamn blast furnace somewhere and watch him rise back up out of it like that one creature from, what was it, the second Terminator movie? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, did we do that? We did that! You know, it's been a long time since I've gone way down the far corridor to that one little broom closet office of the cabinet secretary of the Department of Jesus, Barack. Because you may recall, we decided that just because every now and then he does these things, that he needed to have somebody on his cabinet who would be the secretary of Jesus, Barack, who would just walk up to the president of the United States, president not sure, and kind of lightly tap him on the back of the head, you know, like an old grandpa, and say, Jesus, Barack, what were you thinking? What were they thinking? Well, I mean, he's old and he's harmless. Bullshit! That man is still capable of killing. I'd make the argument that Berta Cáceres, who I cannot forget, lies moldering in a grave in Honduras because of the teaching and the mentoring of Henry fucking Kissinger. Damn, 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 damn. Well, thank you. Our buddy Scott in San Diego sends this along. Tom Lehrer, 1973. Political satire became obsolete when Henry Kissinger was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Yeah, we kind of got to live with that. That was a bunch of Norwegians. We didn't really have any say-so. But we, the people of the United States, gave a Distinguished Service Award to Henry fucking Kissinger. Good evening yourself, Anatole. Welcome to the room. The room filling up nicely. Good evening, Anatole, and Earther, and Jug of Punch, and Jules, and Labor Man, and Lady Tsuki, and Psychoticus Rex, and we haven't seen in ages. Hi, Psychoticus, and Stockton Larry, and Texas T, and Tim from L.A. Oh, yes. So I just kind of had to return to that and get that off my chest, and I don't know if I have. I don't know if it's mathematically or scientifically possible to get that moral miasma. I I feel like a creature that's been slimed, you know, from the Ghostbusters movie. Only it won't come off, and it burns us. It hurts us. Yeah, as Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, points out, you know, listen to the Nixon tapes, and you'll get a really full appreciation for the war crimes of Henry fucking Kissinger. up in the hopefully still nice and moist north, moist and non-flammable north, Ron says, back in my Navy days, it was the chief's job to quietly say to the newbie officer who had a great new plan, well, yes, you could do that, sir, but with all due respect. And unfortunately, there was nobody there to say that to President Not Sure. I'd like to have, it would be nice to have one of those classic old muckraking journalists who could do the work of chasing down an idea through the government. I'd like to know who it was that came up with the notion and went to somebody who went to somebody who then went to somebody who went to a cabinet secretary who went to Ash Carter at the Department of Defense, because that's where the award was awarded, who then said to Barack Obama, you know, sir, you know what we really need to do? He's getting up in years there. We really need to give a Distinguished Service Award to Henry fucking Kissinger. We do, sir, we do. I mean, wouldn't it be terrible if he went to his reward, his really sulfurous, brimstony, billion degrees Kelvin reward without a Distinguished Service Award from, you know, the United States government? Wouldn't that be terrible, sir? And where was the rest of the cabinet? Oh, shut up, Ash! You go back and drone somebody. Well, thank you, Ron. Thank you very kindly. Ron notes, I have to say that you can do high dudgeon in about as good as anyone I've heard. Well, please, please believe me, Ron, when I tell you that this ain't made up. This ain't in no wise fake. This is genuine disgust. I mean, this is the kind of thing that puts you on, you know, Agnes says, honey, would you like some soup and a sandwich for lunch? And I look at her and I go, no, honey. No, we the people gave a Distinguished Service Award to Henry fucking Kissinger. I can't eat. No, not that I'm aware of. Anybody else having problems with the White Rose Society stream? I mean, everybody who listens is listening to the White Rose Society stream in one form or another. No, everybody says they're fine. Gerald says, is the White Rose server down? I can't get the show to stream even using the back door. Yep, Labor Man says, Lima Charlie here. Ron continues and says, oh, I know, I've been there. I've seen the elephant. 5x5 in Ottawa, by the way. Thank you. Carol Baker says, you sound pissed off in a right clear voice to me. By the way, since Gerald is having a hard time getting the program, Carol, have you thought today about Christ's plan for your life? I'm asking for a friend. But I did. I had to. Thank you, Sparky. All good. All good in the man cave. I had to get that off my chest. And what you heard is exactly kind of how it evolved inside my head. Because I ran across one of those America's moral failure stories. I forget who it was, but it, yeah, naturally it was because transgendered people can go potty and or would like to go potty and the homosexuals are out there picking out China patterns and somewhere there's a woman with a little teeny tiny wad of tissue inside her, and she would like for it not to be inside her, and, you know, slut. And that just all sort of rolled downhill when I realized that we gave Henry fucking Kissinger, and I'll quit saying that word soon. I really apologize. Hopefully I've dealt with it appropriately. James, via email, subject line, thank you. Thank you for making me laugh when I really want to cry when I think about Henry fucking Kissinger. Yeah, needle me a little bit, Tim. Tim from L.A. in the chat room. I can't hear you, Bob Kincaid. Scream louder. Let me help Henry Kissinger receive the Distinguished Public Service Award. You know, if Henry Kissinger gets a Distinguished Service Award, I guess we're going to have to dig up zombie Genghis Khan and give him the Mother Teresa Compassion Award. God damn. And really, I mean, wouldn't some journalism be nice? I mean, wouldn't it be lovely to find out if there was anybody there with a Laurel and Hardy handshake for Henry from the Hillary Clinton campaign? Yeah, I think it may be your carrier, Gerald. And that would be Suddenlink, which ain't so sudden. Ron says, we have sent a direct request to headquarters for a direct injection of Flomax. Get it all out, Bob. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Brother Deacon Asa saying the stream's A-OK. I think Charleston is probably having problems with their Suddenlink. Suddenlink, anything but, on both counts, Sudden and Link. Yeah, Ron, Kissinger and his traveling buddy McNamara are direct evidence that sodomy can cause pregnancy. Fucking pro-life. Steve in New York says, streaming duckily in New York, but where Henry Kissinger is concerned, it would be just like the Germans giving an award to Joseph Goebbels. Oh, wait. Never mind. Harold, meanwhile, says, good stream, no restrictions, and... Harold also says, the Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society will fund Friday on the front porch if the hole is filled in by airtime on Friday. Oh-ho! Howdy-do. That's a pretty big offer. And thank you very kindly to Charlene. To Charlene and Leroy. They've gotten us started. Remember, the fundraising hole was $610. It is now Charlene took care of 10% of that. So that $610 to $600. The hole is $449 deep now. Thanks to Charlene, and thanks very kindly to Leroy. And a challenge is on the table. Friday on the front porch is covered. If we can take care of that $49. $44.90 times 10, or 10 to 44.9 times. Yeah, I think the Kissinger dudgeons burnt something out. Oh, okay. Carol says Gerald's been struck down by her stalker. Well, there's an idea. Let's just pick up with this and run on. Thomas noting, if we're giving out awards, can we give Ted Nugent the Hillary Clinton Steering Committee for President Award? Then James also says, how about giving Jim Jones the Julia Childs Award for Gourmet Kool-Aid? James in Idaho, Stan. Oh, I think we've got a thing underway now. This is right up there with Meet the Feetles. Awards for people who don't deserve them. Yeah. How about the George Washington Cannot Tell a Lie Award for Zombie Richard Nixon? Yeah. Hey, we're down to $444 to go. Thank you very kindly. Thank you very much. I believe that's our buddy Psychoticus. So remember, Friday on the Front Porch is covered if we fill in the hole, which would be awesome, because otherwise the hole would be, oh dear God. But we're at $444. Hey, what else? Well, Ron and Raleigh with a note says, hey, Bob, tell me how you really feel about Obergruppenfuhrer Kissinger. Using the word fuck, such as fuck you or fuck off or any other variation, expresses disgust more succinctly than, you know, any other phrase. Yeah, it does. That word serves a purpose. And God Almighty. One of the things that was kind of, well, not kind of, but really disturbing when the Kissinger thing came out was hearing all the hearing all the hilarians who suddenly realized that Henry Kissinger wasn't such a bad guy. I mean, it's not like he was her mentor or anything, even though she said he was. I mean, she just said she appreciated him. I mean, it's not like they were having lunch or brunch or dinner, except they did. But if there was a benefit to be had out of it, then maybe that benefit lay in the fact that a new and younger generation, Tarna, learned who Henry Kissinger was. What a monster. What a war criminal. I mean, it's kind of funny when you realize, if you're a student of film, when you realize that Peter Sellers really, really did base the character of Dr. Strangelove on Henry Kissinger. But then at the same time, when you realize that Dr. Strangelove turned out to be an unreconstructed Nazi who jumps up at the end of the film and screams as the atomic weapons are going off all over the planet, Mein Führer, I can Volk! Yeah. It's humorous. But we're talking about a real live, honest to God, no kidding, straight out of myth monster. I mean, and I'm about to say something silly. If I were a member of Congress, I'd task two or three staffers with tracing down the complete chain whereby the Obama administration gave a Distinguished Service Award to Henry fucking Kissinger. And maybe on the floor of the House or the Senate, I would risk censure by referring to him as Henry fucking Kissinger. Unindicted war criminal. Monstrosity extraordinaire. And then maybe I'd author a bill of censure against the President of the United States for authorizing the award of a Distinguished Service Award, for authorizing the presentation of a Distinguished Service Award. That's much more linguistically, syntactically, and grammatically appealing to Henry fucking Kissinger. Tom, only trying to make things worse, says the fuck award will be given to you and not me this year, Bob. Carol, meanwhile, suggests, let's give Jeffrey Dahmer the James Beard Award. There we go. I think we're on the right path now. Ron, in the hopefully springtime north, says, Kissinger was the closest thing to Machiavelli's prince that we've seen this past century. But with an ego! In the last half of the 20th century, the only truly evil venal equivalent was Pol Pot. Idi Amin will be mentioned by some, but he only chowed down on less than a million poor souls. I mean, there were war crimes trials over, you know, what happened in the former Yugoslavia. How? Well, because America, that's how. Has Henry fucking Kissinger avoided standing in the dock in The Hague? And you know what? If we could somehow secret him over there, would they make him stand in the dock in The Hague now? I really don't want that man to go to his long, infernal, sulfurous, brimstone-laden home without answering for his crimes here on Earth, because I don't believe in a long, sulfurous, brimstone-laden home. Earther pointing out, ooh, Rachel Maddow had a segment on how the general in Dr. Strangelove also... The one that was enthusiastic about using nukes on the Russians was based on a real U.S. general. Don't remember either name. I'm thinking that was probably General Curtis LeMay. And that would be general and former vice presidential candidate, Curtis LeMay. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. All right. So I'm happy to announce that we have crossed the $400 barrier. We are now down at 357 dollars. $357 to go in fundraising for the evening. It can be done. Thank you very kindly to an anonymous contributor who took us that far down toward meeting the Happy Trails Secret Open Carry Roundup Society's promise of funding tomorrow's Friday on the Front Porch. Thank you very, very much. Okay, yes, I was right. I win the booby prize. Ron in Canada says it was indeed Curtis LeMay. But now that I have, to a certain extent, gotten that off my chest, let us pluck that thorn from our side and see if we can't find another one that fits just as well. Do let's. And this one, you're not likely to find in your news feed. This is one of those horn exclusives that you're only going to get because you're out here in front of the curve with the Horn Family Community Congregation. Because this comes from my email box. I don't know why, but periodically I get press releases from the man known to millions or dozens maybe as the Plaid Avenger. The Plaid Avenger being longtime Tennessee Republican Senator Lamar Alexander. This is datelined Washington, May 12th, 2016, so we'll need some stentorian. Dateline Washington, May 12th, 2016. Okay, does that sound sufficiently authentic? Good. U.S. What a shame Barbie's probably not listening this evening. Nonetheless, maybe she can catch the podcast. She always loves the newscaster voice. U.S. Senator Lamar Alexander, R. Tennessee, said today the Republican majority in the Senate has proven the appropriations process can work after the body passed the fiscal year 2017 Energy and Water Development Appropriations Bill. Alexander was the primary author of the bill and led it through committee and floor passage. Quote, this legislation brings us one step closer to doubling basic energy research at the Office of Science, fully funds projects that are supported by the Inland Waterways Trust Fund, and takes an important step toward solving the 25-year-old nuclear waste stalemate. This appropriations bill is consistent with the spending limits Congress set last year, sets priorities that advance our nation's goals, and eliminates wasteful spending. We did exactly what the Republican Senate majority was elected to do, and we were mindful of the taxpayers' dollars, Alexander said. Alexander leads the Senate Energy and Water Development Appropriations Subcommittee and co-authored the bill with ranking member Dianne Feinstein. Okay. While the bill supports priorities such as energy research, the bill also saves $125 million by eliminating funding for the International Thermonuclear Experimental Reactor in project in France. Funding for the ITER project was instead used for higher priority projects within the Office of Science. And there's a long laundry list of what they're going to spend the money on here. But the part that grabbed me was the subject line, which was Alexander, Energy and Water Appropriations Bill first to pass Senate. And that first paragraph, the first paragraph, just I read that just a little bit before airtime, and I went, you what, huh? Namely, and let's go back to it, you may have missed it. U.S. Senator Lamar Alexander said today the Republican majority in the Senate has proven the appropriations process can work after the body passed. Blah, 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 blah. Timeout. Okay, Jack. Timeout. Okay, Jack. That's a hell of a lead, isn't it? Republican Senate proves appropriations process can work. I don't know. I mean, I hear from a lot of you, but I'm not aware of anybody on the progressive side of things saying that the appropriations process can't work. Over here as progressives, we actually have this notion that the appropriations process can work, should work, does work, as long as Republicans aren't out there trying to prevent it from working. The appropriations process has worked quite well, thank you very much, for a rather long time. That is, until the teabaggers got in and, you know, wrecked the legislative branch of government. Because, in point of fact, they don't much believe in government at all, ever, any. So, what kind of low-ass bar is that? Oh, well, we've proved as Republicans that we can do the job we were sent here to do. Three cheers and a tiger for us. Hooray, we have won. Feast your eyes on us. Behold. Wow. I mean, really? Prove that the appropriations process can work. Actually, what they proved is that, when the wind is just right and people are standing on one leg and holding their left arm up in the air
and having their tongue hanging out of their mouth just so,
that once in a while a blind hog will find an acorn and a Republican will actually participate in government. Huh. Yeah, I mean, that just stymies the daylights out of me. Let's see what they've appropriated stuff for. Because, see, I kind of had a sphincter tightening moment when I ran across that line about solving the 25-year-old nuclear waste stalemate. Alexander said the bill also provides needed oversight to keep large government projects such as the uranium processing facility in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, on time and on budget. The bill supports programs to clean up Cold War-era nuclear facilities. Ah, so the reason it's coming out from Lamar Alexander is it's got some... it's got some Tennessee pork in it. And make no mistake, I'm fond of Tennessee pork. There's a little place that does hams and bacons over in, what is it, Madisonville or Madison, Tennessee? East Tennessee there, it's called Benton's Smokehouse. Oh, mercy sakes. I mean, the highest and falutinest of chefs out there will tell you that there is no bacon better than Benton's. Oh, you try that on your own. I'm a professional broadcaster, goddammit. No bacon better than Benton's. But I'm not so sure how I feel about, we probably do need to clean up Oak Ridge, because it probably is rather of a toxic nuclear mess. I'll have to do some report on that. The U.S. Department of Energy's Office of Science is funded at $5.4 billion, a record funding level in a regular appropriations bill. $1.4 billion gets added to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers budget that President Obama had wanted to cut, bringing the Corps budget up to $6 billion. The bill makes full use of the Inland Waterways Trust Fund revenues for water infrastructure projects. I read that and it translates differently in my brain. The bill raids the Inland Waterways Trust Fund. Yeah. There's going to be $37 million to continue construction of Chickamauga Lock in Chattanooga. Oh, goody. The uranium processing facility at the Y-12 National Security Complex gets $575 million. Because, see, Lamar Alexander loves him some nuclear power. If Lamar had his way, the Great Smoky Mountains National Park would glow in the goddamn dark. There it is. Ah, shit. The legislation sends a strong signal about our support for developing new technologies that will support the next generation of nuclear power plants. The bill includes... How about we don't have the next generation of nuclear power plants? I know that's a radical notion, but let's put that on the table and just see if anybody will take cards in that game. No new next generation of nuclear power plants. Let's try that one on for size. Anybody? Anybody? I mean, this is, after all, like Romper Room. I can see all the little hands going up. Yes. No next generation of nuclear power plants. You lose. The bill includes $94.5 million for advanced reactors. That's $21 million more than the president even asked for. And hey, you remember, those of us of a certain age, remember if you looked up computer in your World Book Encyclopedia, and there was a graphic in there. I remember there was a graphic in mine. I think mine was published in 1957 or something. That said, a computer that can do all the work of the human brain would be the size of two Empire State Buildings. And then by the mid-70s, your nerdy science friends were talking about a day when everybody will have a computer. And people would respond to their nerdy science friends by saying, "Well, that's all well and good, but what the hell are we going to do with one?" Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know, in fact, I was on Facebook the other day, and I saw that our friend Beth in Dallas had posted a story from I forget where, but about like magazine ads for the first generation of personal desktop computers. It was, shall we say, quaint. The write-up about a mouse, well, a mouse is a great thing, but critics have noted that there's not much to point at. Right. It was cute. So, much in that same sense, you know, and now we're all walking around with computers in our hands that have more computing power than the stuff that took us to the moon. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Well, I mentioned all of that because of this sentence. The bill also provides $95 million for small modular reactors, which is a $32.5 million increase over last year. Oh, goody. $ Small, there's another thing I'm probably going to have to look up. Small modular reactors. How small? What in the hell do we mean by modular? Does that mean you can put one side of it on one part of it on one side of the fault line and the other part of it on the other side of the fault line? Hello, California voters. You want to send a note to Dianne Feinstein and thank her for providing us with a pathway toward the next generation of nuclear reactors? Y'all want some of those, don't you? Why, I was just looking the other day at a story on the interweb tubes that said the San Andreas Fault is getting ready to crack like a goddamn egg. You'd love to have a small modular reactor right there on the San Andreas Fault, wouldn't you? I mean, who wouldn't? Small modular reactor. You can put it right there next to the barbecue grill. It's so small and modular. Probably comes in colors like avocado and sky blue and pink. My God, what a wonderful world it'll be with those small modular computers. And we are way down into the distinct possibility of meeting Harold's secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society offer to cover Friday on the front porch for us. Thank you very kindly to Psychoticus. I'm doing the math even now. We're down somewhere around $300 or so to go, maybe a little bit less. That's awesome. So this is doable. This is doable indeed. I mean, we're down beneath 10 at 30, 30 at 10 stuff. We're down around 10 at 28, 28 at 10, 1 at 280. And we haven't cleared a hole like this in a long, long time, and I sure hope we do. Oh, dear God. Arthur, I love the way you think, only I don't. Note from Arthur. No, Bob. Small modular reactor just means that it's made by IKEA. You need these parts. And, ooh, I built my small modular reactor and I've got parts to spare. Won't it be great when... Because, see, that would be so much cooler, wouldn't it? I mean, instead of having a nation with, like, solar panels and personal wind turbines in everybody's backyard just sitting there making energy from the wind and the sun, wouldn't it be awesomer if everybody had a small modular reactor there right next to the barbecue grill? Hey, hon, while you're out there, throw a few more handfuls of plutonium-962 on the pile there in the reactor, would you, sugar? Wait, honey, why are you melting? Oy. Wait, where does this thinking... Oh, why do I ask? It's been a tough hour. It's been a cleansing hour, but it's been a tough hour. Ron noting, Ron in Canada, small modular reactors, some old guys will do anything to get it up. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa says, small modular reactor, Bob, much like a surgical tactical nuke. Carol, meanwhile, says, think fracking, earthquakes, and Fukushima. Small modular reactor. What a lovely idea. Small modular reactor. Ooh, glory. Anybody got a picture? Mock-up? Design? Lego version? Hey, I can't wait to buy the grandkids their Lego small modular reactor kit. Cause we need us some of those. Small modular reactors. Ye gods. I'm stumped. And it's not like it just got introduced. This got passed by the Senate waterways? Really? Does small modular reactors have to do with the waterways turning into Kirk Douglas? But take heart, Horn Family Community Congregation. We, by God, have, well, not we, but the Republican majority have proven that the appropriations process can work. You know, as long as there are some small modular nuclear reactors involved in the process. Yeah, what was the name of that committee again? Because I'm right curious about it. Yeah, there it is. The Energy and Water Appropriations Bill. Well, as long as the water we're talking about, glows in the goddamn dark. Because we need us some. Well, I mean, you know, that's the thing about nuclear power. I mean, it's nuclear power is the future. Future, sure. I mean, once we've got a lot of nuclear reactors, why, electricity will simply be free, almost as if it came from the sun or the wind, which is, you know, free. By the way, just in case you were wondering, Lamar Alexander, the Plaid Avenger, hates him some wind power, despises wind energy. Okay, smart alecking around notwithstanding. Ron in Raleigh tells me small modular reactors are factory-built reactors in the range of 300 megawatts, whereas the reactors built now are in the 1,000 megawatt range. Built like modular homes makes me more comfortable. Does that mean that they'll blow all to pieces in a tornado? Oh, they're going to want lots of those all over Tennessee and Tennistan and Talabama and Georgia-stan and Mississippi-stan and Louisiana-stan and Oklahoma-stan and Texas-stan and Kansas-stan. Oh, they're going to want lots of small modular reactors, probably just to anchor them to just, you know, you probably get them to stay on the ground just by, you know, putting an iron stake in the ground and putting some braided steel cable over to an eye bolt in the side of the small modular reactor. Sure. You bet. Why not? Thank you very kindly, VJ. For jumping in and helping fill in the hole this evening. VJ is part of the reason that we have crawled down under the $200 or under the $300 mark. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Kevin, very kindly. $250 to go. It's conceivable we could do that in the next hour. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, out in San Diego, Scott points out, lucky kids for a time in the early 1950s actually could own a scientific home kit complete with radioactive materials, the Gilbert U-238 Atomic Energy Lab, produced 1950 to 1951. Say, kids, be the first on your block to glow. Carol, do you reckon they'll want a small modular reactor there at the Ballerina Swan Lake Mobile Home Country Club and Trailer Park? Because Carol pointed out, small modular reactor sounds like the Glowing Cross Trailer Park right next to the Burning Cross Trailer Park. Seriously, Sciency, Ron in Canada, says there are at least 16 international projects to create small modular reactors from around 10 megawatts up to 300 megawatts. They use a range of fuels, but most, if not all, are designed to use a fuel base that cannot be enriched to weapons-grade material. But I'll bet if it gets loose in the environment, it's still a bitch, right? Carol Baker says, abstadam-lutely, jobs! We're all going to have jobs in the small modular nuclear reactor industry. Ah, Ron and Raleigh, we got dueling Rons tonight. Why in the waterways subcommittee? Well, the reason is that it's in the waterways appropriation bills because you still have to cool these sumbitches. You got to cool them a lot. And now with climate change on the board, as we have found out in places like North Alabama, the water going back out into the river doesn't get cooled so much because the river's already so hot that, like, fish die off in it. Right. Oh, it's inspiring watching government in action. Mm-hmm. 6 minutes past the hour, we will take a break and end the filibobster rat cheer. Ron and Raleigh has kindly sent along a bumper for Henry fucking Kissinger, or as he refers to him, Herr Kissinger, which probably is the proper form of address. Actually, Herr Dr. Kissinger. Yeah. And, of course, this being Thursday, the 12th day of May, 2016, we have the Green News Report on the way with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. I had a heck of a good time chatting with Brad and Desi on their regular program yesterday. We had a nice little half-hour chat about politics in West Virginia. And just one last thing. I saw the numbers on primary voter turnout. Shall we say I was not inspired? Not even a little bit. West Virginia's voter turnout, complete with its entirely bizarre results, was 40%. So that means, on the Democratic and the Republican side, the general election ballot was set by not even a significant plurality of the registered voters of this state. 21%, 22% of the registered voters of this state chose the Republican and Democratic ballots for November. Anyone hoping that maybe West Virginia will return to some semblance of its senses and get rid of, for instance, our unpasteurized, poisonous milk bill passing, teabagger, urine stained, urine colored snake flag legislature, might want to be reevaluating that position. Because remember, friends and neighbors, low voter turnout always favors the Repiglickens. Yes, yes indeed, it surely does. And so, with about $250 in fundraising to climb out of the hole, let me get down there and have a look. Wait a minute. Hey, I can actually see sky from here. That's awesome. Beautiful. Okay, I'll get back up because I still don't like spending time down there. No, we've got a fighting chance. $250 to go for fundraising for the evening. And once we do that, the secret open carry roundup, Happy Trails Roundup Society offer kicks in, and Friday on the front porch gets covered. Woohoo! Yeah, I like that. I hope you do too. So 10 at 25, 25 at 10, 1 at 250, 2 at 125, 4 at 6250, 8 at 31 and a quarter. Yeah, we got this, right? Right? We do got this. Yeah. This is The Horn. This is listener-supported conversation radio. I'm Bob Kincaid. Lines are open. 304-574-8178. 304-663-4676. And Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype from anywhere on the planet. Long-distance dedication going out to Henry fucking Kissinger. This is The Horn.
Fulfilled. No one. the way his license to kill.
It's Thursday, May 12, 2016.
The fire has been ruled as incendiary.
2013 West Texas fertilizer explosion ruled a criminal act.
This is pretty good news.
Price of renewable energy is dropping fast around the world. U.S. Geological Survey confirms fracking is contaminating drinking water in West Virginia. Plus, it's official, Big Oil has abandoned the Arctic.
Not sure what that means, but it sounds like good news. All of those stories and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
So if I take hairspray, and if I spray it in my apartment, which is all sealed, and you're telling me that affects the ozone layer? Yes. I say, no way, folks, no way.
Truly spoken like a man who spent years inhaling aerosol in a poorly ventilated room.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, never mind the fact that the presumptive Republican nominee for president is obsessed with hairspray. Stephen Colbert also had this to point out.
I was surprised to see Trump so hung up on the current state of hairspray. Because I looked it up, and the hairspray that destroys the ozone was banned in 1978. So Trump has been mad about hairspray for 38 years.
Well, the man knows how to hold a grudge, I guess.
Apparently so.
What else do you have for us today that doesn't have to do with Donald Trump and the hairspray?
Well, it's not nearly as funny, unfortunately. Remember the deadly explosion in West Texas where improperly stored hazardous fertilizer chemicals ignited in 2013?
I do.
Killing 15 people, including 12 first responders, and destroyed more than 500 homes? Well, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives on Wednesday announced that arson was the cause of the fire at the unguarded facility, triggering the massive explosion. Here's ATF Special Agent Robert Elder.
All reasonable, accidental, and natural fire scenarios were hypothesized, considered, tested, and eliminated as being fire causes. The only hypothesis that could not be eliminated is incendiary.
No criminal arrests have been made, and the investigation continues. The Chemical Safety Board ruled the disaster was preventable because the 60 tons of explosive chemicals were stored in flimsy wooden bins near homes and schools. Attempts to upgrade safety regulations for fertilizer storage facilities have stalled in Congress. As we always say here, elections have consequences.
They do indeed.
More fracking water contamination. On the heels of a Duke University study last week finding fracking wastewater had left widespread and persistent toxic pollution in North Dakota, well, in West Virginia, the U.S. Geological Survey has definitively confirmed that a dumping site for fracking fluids has contaminated Wolf Creek, a West Virginia waterway that feeds into the drinking water supply and is also harming the ecosystem.
Wasn't it West Virginia that had to contend with that toxic pollution from coal ash from that Freedom Industries a few years ago?
Yes, it was.
Man, if we get the fossil fuels the hell out of West Virginia, maybe the folks there will be able to drink some clean water for once.
It's official. Big Oil has abandoned the Arctic. In the wake of Shell Oil losing $8 billion over 8 years attempting to find oil in the Arctic, new documents uncovered by conservation group Oceana show that the oil industry has quietly relinquished nearly all of their drilling rights in U.S. Arctic waters at a loss of $2.5 billion. A handful of leases still remain. Pressure is now growing on President Obama to ban Arctic drilling altogether. But don't worry, humans are still heading to the Arctic anyway.
Oh, good.
With dramatic melting of the Arctic sea ice thanks to global warming, a massive luxury cruise ship is set to take to the now open Northwest Passage this summer. The ship's nearly 2,000 passengers and crew will outnumber residents in communities along the route, which are far from emergency and first responders. Canadian officials and the American and Canadian Coast Guards say they are now holding special meetings to get ready.
Okay, but there won't be any drilling while they're up there, right?
Certainly not.
All right, sounds nice.
Some good news, the price of renewable energy is dropping fast, and solar energy in particular is now cheaper than fossil fuels for electricity in many parts of the world, and that's without subsidies or mandates. At a Stanford University energy conference last week, former U.S. Energy Secretary Stephen Chu said this.
Clean energy is actually getting much cheaper than even I, as a perennial technical optimist, thought was going to be.
Chu pointed to Mexico, where at a recent auction, private companies bid a record low price for the opportunity to generate solar electricity, again, without any subsidies, cheaper than conventional fossil fuels.
It's just money, including profit. This is pretty good news.
Good news indeed. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Line it up, baby!
Hey!
And you know what? As a bonus, because it didn't really get in there, but I did message Brad and Desi to let them know. That injection well, and all those lovely toxic heavy metals from the Spinal Tap end of the periodic table of the elements. Yeah, that sits upstream from my public water supply. Not really, really. Wolf Creek dumps into the New River, the second oldest river on Earth, by the way. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It is we're almost halfway through with this here Thorn in the Side Thursday. Wolf Creek dumps into the New River, the second oldest river on Earth, just a few miles upstream from the intake for the public water supply for this here place where I and several thousand other members of the human species reside. Cool, huh? And me neither. Of course, our well got poisoned long ago. When I was a little boy, not nearly as long ago as it probably seems, feels like just yesterday, first thing I'd do when we'd get up here, because, you know, granted, all my friends and pals and everything were going down to the beach and playing in the surf and everything, and not a lot of surf in the Gulf of Mexico, but still, fun. Riding go-karts and things like that. We'd come up here. And we'd come up here and, you know, it's not, I mean, my community in Northwest Alabama was one of the first ones to, I can't remember not having cable. Really, I mean, we were early adopters, my community was. Granted, it was still only three channels, but it was three very clear channels, and there were no, not clear channel, but three, and there were no rabbit ears and no aluminum foil and no standing. And, you know, hey, kid, turn that. No. TV was an early part of my life. And we'd come up here, and TV was for crap because TV signals just had a hard time getting around these mountains. About the only thing you could get on a good day was WOAY, and well, there just wasn't much to see there. But there were nice things. There were a lot of, among them, you know, my grandmothers, whom I adored. And I'd get up here to my grandmother Kincaid's, and day or night, the first thing I wanted to do was to go back to where she kept a red plastic bucket with an aluminum dipper in it, you know, like zinc galvanized, and get me a big dipper full of that water. Because it did not taste like water tasted at home. It tasted, and talking about taste and water is kind of difficult because, you know, it's water. And whenever Gran would haul up another bucket full of water from the well, And her well was deeper than anybody else's around here. She paid extra to have it drilled down into a sweet vein. I would stand by, and I always wanted a cup of water right after it was pulled out of the earth because it was bracingly sharp and cold. Oh, it was frigid. I'd never had such cold water, not even out of the refrigerator. It was special. And then in the 80s, they went out the road here and they strip-mined the hills. And suddenly, when you brought up a bucket of water, and you know it's there's you've got that cylinder and you pull the little lever, and the water comes gushing out into the bucket. If you let it settle, there would be this slime that would settle to the bottom of the bucket that had never been there before. And at one point in time, we had the well water going, back when we had one, we had the well water going into the ice maker or the refrigerator. And now I look back on that decision, and I think about all the hundreds, if not thousands, of trips that my children made to that ice maker. And I think about how, you know, 13-year-old little girls are not supposed to be having gallbladder removal surgery. But both of the little girls who spent their entire childhood here did. And you can't, you know, help but wonder. Just a story. Just a story. No, our well's still here, Psychoticus. Psychoticus asking, is it still there now? Maybe your neighbor's livers have cleaned the system. No, we're the only ones that are tapped into that vein. Everybody else is up above it, and the water's real icky and red and sulfurous and nasty. Okay, Carol says there was a sweetness to the water. I know where you're going. We had it too. Emphasis on the word had. Because, see, there's no water in this country that is not at risk. And we take this act in haste, repent in leisure approach to it. Because, you know, I mean, we're only a water-based life form. Why the hell would we be worried about water? I mean, we can always buy it at the Wally World, can't we? Yeah, exactly. Psychoticus pointing out, well, Bob, give it 8 to 10,000 years and I'm sure it'll be fine. But I don't know. Injection wells full of fracking fluid, I think they push that 8 to 10,000 years out to the 50 or 60 millennia, doesn't it? Oh, goody. Gerald is with us. He tells me his interweb tubes are working now. Glory. Hallelujah, even. Let's run over to the phones. Let's run over to the stress line where our buddy Jim in Louisiana Stan awaits. Hey, Jim.
What's up, Bob? Your little water story kind of reminds me of when I used to go to my grandmother, my father's mother, Laurel, Mississippi. And the water tasted different, and it tasted better, you know, but that's decades, numerous decades ago, four and a half.
So is that granny and grandpa on your mom's side or your dad's side?
Dad.
Okay.
And it did taste different, and I've just noticed you can't help but notice unless you try not to notice. I mean, just all these water companies. And they're trying to get water from anywhere they can. So, you know, here I go to the conspiracy theory, but then you just grab up all the water. That wouldn't be too much of a stretch, huh?
No, and in fact, I had a note from Shorty in L.A.
Right. Right.
And it was just a little bit horrifying. It was a lot horrifying. Who am I kidding? Let me see if I can find it. Just a second here. Oh, there we go. There's Shorty. Couple of interesting stories. Whistleblower lawsuit claims Flint Mayor Weaver diverted water crisis money into political fund. Did you catch that?
Yeah, and it's weird because I read down instead of thoughts, so sometimes I let them down.
And then there's this brown tap water at 5 South LA schools sparks concern. Shorty said residents of Watts, yeah, this is in the Watts neighborhood. One guy said on KTLA this morning, if you boil the water, it sticks to the pot, and when you tap the pot, it falls easily like old wood.
Well, just remember, Bob, it's all capitalism, so someone has to make money.
Right, and everybody has a share, and what's good for the company is good for everybody.
Right. But speaking of capitalism, that bacon you were talking about, do they send it out?
Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they most assuredly do, and they send it vacuum-sealed. And because it's smoked, it's pretty well preserved. And it's a bargain, too. Last I checked, it's like £4 for $30 and shipping. And that's not that much more expensive than the chemical-laden stuff that you find in your grocer's meat case.
Okay. That's B-E-N-T-I-N-S?
B-E-N-T-O-N-S. Benton's Bacon.
Okay.
Hey, maybe if people order it and say, "Hey, I heard about it from Bob Kincaid on the radio," it'll turn into a thing. Wouldn't that be cool?
I would. I'd like to be a trendsetter. You know me.
Well, yes, absolutely.
I'm on the edge. The other thing I was remembering when you were talking. I was just thinking about, you know, when you're talking about the nuke. And a couple of things on that. The home size nukes. Remember the slogan for MTV, I want my MTV? I mean, maybe we could come up with one. I want my small nuke.
I want my
reactor.
I want my MNA, my modular nuclear, or my, I want my MNR, my modular nuclear reactor.
Yeah.
Only I don't.
Well, like you said, like you pointed out, like in California, in a lot of places earthquake prone. I mean, hell, now even Oklahoma and that area is earthquake prone. And I don't know if you'd want to have a nuclear reactor, even if there are only three or four level earthquakes. I imagine it going up, but I haven't heard it say. But I don't know if you'd want to be having a nuclear reactor, even if it's quote unquote a small one. And even then, the corporation is going to have to make their money off of it. That's why, in my esteemed opinion, they're so afraid of solar, because they can't figure out a way to make money off of it. It's just like out in Vegas.
They can't figure out a way to sell shares in the sun.
Yeah. Well, when I was out in Vegas, it was a big thing because people who had solar were getting these tax write-offs or whatever, but then the energy company was not making enough money. And what pisses me off about that kind of cry, isn't that capitalism? If you come up with a better way to make a wheel or make this, and that other company goes out of business, isn't that the very nature of capitalism?
Kind of is. And then, of course, there are those tape recordings. Remember Enron? And remember those tape recordings of them talking about how they were going to manipulate prices, they were going to manipulate gas prices or whatever in California and make the old grannies scream? That's capitalism, too.
I'm surprised those bastards aren't under the jail. And don't get me started on
You're surprised? Now stop that.
I'm being sarcastic as hell. You know, I have to. Sometimes
I'm surprised we haven't given him a goddamn Distinguished Service Award.
Yeah, that's the only way I can deal with it sometimes, with just full-on, in-the-face sarcasm.
Yeah, you know? I mean... Sometimes it's all you got.
And it's like my dad would say, you know, what do you expect from a big but a grunt? You know?
Amen.
Yeah. Although I have to admit, you're coming up with some good sayings. Like sometimes I try and write them down. I might use them sometimes.
You're free to steal them at will. This is open source hillbillyism.
I hear you, man. But a lot of wisdom comes through your way. But
believe me, I receive more than I send out.
That's hard to believe, but I'll take your word for it. But the other thing is I'm still blown away by and I guess Orwell knew it best, how the masses, and it seems like they're catching a clue a little bit, just keep on falling for the same tricks and charades. I cannot see how anybody would work for Hillary. I can understand your position, and it looks like she stands a good chance, you know. Somehow, hopefully, Bernie can do it. I'd like Bernie to run third party. I'd like to see the whole political system get all screwed up, where you get like some right wing Republican running against Trump, and then you get like two from the left and two from the right. Well, Hillary would be three from the right and one being Bernie. Like I told you, if Hillary gets it, I'm going Jill Stein. Of course, it's Louisiana Stein, so.
Right, won't matter.
Yeah.
And frankly, it won't matter here either, but I'm sticking to my guns. If she's the nominee, I'm going to vote for Hillary. And then nobody can look at me and go, well, God damn it, you one of them burn your bust motherfuckers that ruined America. Because you wouldn't vote for the worst candidate the Democrats have put up, the least likable candidate, the least approved candidate that the Democrats have put up in 100 years.
Yeah, and maybe it's me. I just get a real negative vibe from her. It's kind of almost a vibe of entitlement. I mean, I remember when her campaign started, even before Bernie entered, and I kind of remember something to the effect of, it's my turn now or something like that.
Well, there's that, but there's something else as well, and I'm going to see if I can find it real quick. I posted this earlier today. You know, there was big splashy headlines all over the place about how Jon Stewart had talked on David Axelrod's podcast, and how he had, he'd said that Donald Trump was a man baby. Okay,
now I've got some part of that.
So I've got the audio here, and I want to share it with you. It's only 3 minutes long. But what didn't, and this is, this is how the for-profit media work. What they didn't report was what Jon Stewart said about Hillary Clinton. Check this out. Just listen. I think you'll make sure. Let me know. Can you hear this?
Hold on.
To him, and I've never run against her. So
what would you be saying about her?
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Talk to me about Hillary Clinton.
Okay. Here we go.
To him, and
I've never run against her. So
what would you be saying about her if you were doing your show?
What I think about Hillary Clinton is, I imagine to be a very bright woman without the courage of her convictions, because I'm not even sure what they are. So I would suggest that when I watch her campaign. When I watch her campaign, it reminds me of, and again, I'm throwing out references that mean absolutely nothing to anybody, so I will continue to do that. She reminds me of Magic Johnson's talk show. And I won't say anything.
Yeah, you had that thought too, huh?
if you ever watch Magic Johnson's talk, Magic Johnson was a charming individual, but he wasn't a talk show host. And when you watched his show, you could almost see Arsenio's advice to him in real-time rendering. So he would sit and he would go, my first guest tonight, oh, Arsenio said enthusiasm is something that Sal is, my first guest tonight is, Cher, everybody! But it never seemed authentic and real to his personality. It seemed like he was wearing an outfit designed by someone else, for someone else, to be someone else. And that is not to say that she is not preferable to Donald Trump, because at this point, I would vote for Mr. T over Donald Trump. But she will. I think she will be in big trouble if she can't find a way. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe a real person doesn't exist underneath there. I don't know.
You dabbled on the government side when you were advocating for the Zadroga Act for 9/11 survivors. Did you work with her when she was senator of New York on that?
No.
So you never.
I worked with Kirsten Gillibrand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. So she was out of the Senate by then.
She's terrific. Kirsten Gillibrand is terrific.
So Hillary was out of the Senate by then. Have you must have had her on your show.
Yes.
And what was that like?
Really cool. It's, look, there are politicians who are either rendering their inauthenticity in real enough time to appear authentic, and then there are politicians who render their inauthenticity through, it's like when your computer, you want to play, if you have a Mac and you want to play a Microsoft game
yes.
on it,
yes.
and there's that weird lag.
Yes. That's a big problem. There's like a 7-second delay, and all the words come out in a perfectly politically
right.
calibrated sentence.
Right. Now, what gives me hope in that is that there's a delay, which means she's somehow fighting something. I've seen politicians who don't have that delay and render their inauthenticity in real time, and that's when you go, that's a sociopath.
That's pretty damned smart, isn't it, Jim?
It's incredible. In fact, I heard that. I mean, there's a whole that interview. I think it's an hour or so or something. And I actually caught that exact part because sometimes on the internet you only have so much time, and you think, oh, I'll listen to that later. So I will listen to that later. What else he has to say? Because I love Jon Stewart, comic genius in my esteemed opinion. But
no, I mean that he wasn't trying to be funny. He can't help but be funny. It's part of his rendering.
DNA.
But the way he lays that out, rendering their inauthenticity, rendering their authenticity, that's some pretty highfalutin thinking. And the thing is, it's spot on, and it says it better than so many of us have been trying to point this out. I've said that her campaigns are without fail poorly run ones, and that she has to have training wheels opposition. She can't even, she can't even put away an admitted, that's a troubling word, an admitted democratic socialist. Okay? He's not just beating her a little bit, he's whipped the daylights out of her in a bunch of states.
Because the
Democratic Party nominating system is so thoroughly rigged, is she even winning?
Wait, not only thoroughly rigged, which is a big thing about it to me, but the thing, everything's on her side, and it's thoroughly rigged. I think Bernie has a much better chance. But, okay, go on. I'm kind of losing my train of thought here.
There's not much to continue with. It's just that I stand by what... I mean, look, when he says, I would vote for Mr. T over Trump, what he's saying is that voting for Hillary, to him, is the same as voting for Mr. T.
Exactly.
He could have said... I'd vote for an old Yeller dog over Trump. But then of course David Brock would crank up his filth machine, and the Nicola Post Hilarion Brigade would be all over Facebook screaming, "John Stewart called Hillary an old Yeller dog." Right?
Right. And there's another thing that nobody brings up, that little fall she had a while back. I mean, who knows the real situation of her health?
Well, I mean, Bill said it took her 6 months to recover from it.
Yeah, that's not a minor fall.
No, that's bad.
You know.
The only place that I would take issue with Jon Stewart is where he says that, you know, everything she says is so calculated. She wasn't calculated when she made that quip in Ohio about, we're going to put a bunch of miners out of work, but we've got to take care of those people because those people provided our energy for 100 years. Blah, 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 blah. That was real. That was authentic. I think she really, really wants to do that.
Her speech pattern's full of Freudian slips, if you will.
Well, she's not a very good candidate. I guess people think that I'm saying this by way of, you know, I'm sliming her or something or bashing her, but look, if you're the manager of a Major League Baseball club, and your second baseman is touted in all the sporting news as the best second baseman that has ever played the game, but every time somebody hits a slow roller toward him, he buckners it, and the ball goes between his legs out into the outfield, well, that's not the best second baseman who ever played the game. And if you're the manager, Even though the press is hollering, that's the best second baseman ever to play the game, you know, you're gonna look somewhere else in the system. You're gonna trade, or you're gonna bring one up from the farm club. You're gonna do something to get somebody at second base who can actually field the ball and throw the ball instead of watch it go bounding through his legs. And that's Hillary.
Well,
that's Hillary. That's just Hillary.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's just like the Hillary bots. I mean, I don't get into, I'm on Twitter a lot, but I don't really engage in, I think I said this before. I just don't feel like, sometimes I will. I don't really, if you want to think that, okay, think that. I'll tweet back and forth a little bit. But, you know, I'm not going to waste my time. Okay, that's the way you believe. Okay, fine. Talk to you later.
Yeah,
you know, and I've never blocked anybody. I've got like one Hillary troll. He's been trying to get me over. You know, I'll have to explore. I think
I have yet to be attacked on my Facebook page by one of those Nicola Post types. And frankly, I hope I don't have to deal with it, but I will if I have to.
No, mine's on Twitter, but it's just.
Well, I mean, but they're out there. They really are. I mean, it hit the media. You know, David Brock in a questionable, a legally questionable tactic, is coordinating with the Hillary campaign, with a paid program of people who are out there, trying to set people straight about Hillary. And maybe the reason I haven't been attacked by one of them is because the stuff that I'm talking about her is factually correct. Although I got a little shitstorm last Friday night when the tender-thief-eyed, thin-skinned Hilarians were just goddamn sure that I had said she's nuts when I said she's not. And by God, they were on the Twitter machine. Jesus Christ, that pumpkin kid just said she's nuts. What the fuck is wrong with him?
Yeah. They get all upset. It's like the Rolling Stones line. It's too late now. In fact, it's a gas. You know? I mean, there's just no way, especially in the state I'm in. And I don't know, even if I was in the quote-unquote competitive state, I like I kind of want to promote a third party. I know that'll probably never happen, but I've read an article.
I got no patience for third parties, Jim. I just don't.
I got.
And I'm not yelling at you. It's just that I'm a student of the Constitution, and I understand that. I mean, for instance, here in West Virginia, we had a nonpartisan judicial race. We had several of them, as a matter of fact. And the top of the ticket of the nonpartisan judicial race was a race for the Supreme Court. And TV ads ran all over this state from Beth Walker, who turns out is nothing but another lick spittle for Don Blankenship. That's all she's ever been. But, you know, she had ads run on her behalf saying, she's going to fight against that goddamn Hillary. Some nonpartisan, huh?
Right. So it boiled down to
a winner-take-all general election that was held on primary day. And then there are the people who want proportional representation like they've got in parliaments around the country. The only problem is you're going to have to get rid of Article 1 of the Constitution.
Right. And that was, from talking to you, that was basically, I kind of think, from listening to you and talking to you over the year or two, or whatever, I've been listening to you, it seems like they built the Constitution that way. They didn't want to have a parliamentary system like England. I mean,
right, because they just had to be Jesus abused out of them by a parliamentary system.
Yeah, well, I guess that shows that any system. I mean, Jesus Christ, what are the abuse that goes? I mean, the thing you were talking about, the Republican bragging about, we passed this bill. And it's like Obama's come up with some good legislation and stuff, or some good ideas, but everything gets shut down. It's basically just because of his pigment color.
Well,
the fact that he's a Democrat doesn't help.
He can't even be forgiven for being a center right Democrat because you know he is. Hey Jim, I got to roll, brother, because we got folks jingling the line. But it's always good talking to you, my friend.
Double back at you. Check you later.
All right, see ya. Bye now. Our buddy Jim down in Louisiana, Stan. Note coming in from Freight Train Frank out in Iowegia. Subject line, Distinguished Service Award. Pardon me, Bob, but I think that the Distinguished Service Award means that Kissinger has really serviced millions of innocent people. And we know what serviced means, right? And we are down to $240 to go in fundraising this evening. Remember, if we can fill in that hole, $240. Thank you, Darcy. If we can fill in that hole, that means that we will that Friday on the Front Porch will be taken care of, courtesy of our buddy Harold and the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Yay! Awesome. So 24 at 10, 10 at 24, 1 at 240, 2 at 120, 4 at 60, 8 at 30, 16 at 15, 32 at 750. See, I can do those. But that's how it works. So $240 to go, and we'll be, you know, out of the hole, which isn't nearly as deep now. Let's run over to line one, where I suspect Todd has been patiently waiting. Is that you, Todd?
This is me. Hi, Bob. How you doing?
What's happening, man?
Well, I don't know. I'm reading the paper about people shooting cabbies from you Uber and burning them alive in a shallow grave with gasoline and getting out on bail and things like that.
Yeah, that was down in the old home sod of South Carolina, Stan, wasn't it?
That would be correct.
So a couple of guys call a cab, or was it Uber? Or a guy calls a cab. He's at a strip joint, right?
Right. Right.
He's been watching the naked ladies dance. And he knows he ain't supposed to drink and drive, because they hard on that down South Carolina way.
Oh, big time. Right.
So he calls a cab, and they take him home, and he stiffs the cabbies. Right? And the cabbies do not appreciate being stiffed. So he comes back out with his freedom protector and blows the life right out of the two guys in the cab. Am I right there so far?
You're right. I'm looking at the perpetrator's picture right now. So,
white dude, right?
Yeah, white dude, thick neck. You know,
victims were not white?
Well, you know, one of them definitely has the name Guma Oz Dunbar. Now, I would hazard to guess that he's not Caucasian.
Right.
Now, James Cody Newland, who knows?
Yeah, but Freedom protects him. He Wolverines him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, even though he's liquored up from having been at the nudie bar, he digs a shallow grave. Now, they ain't necessarily dead. Let's remember that.
Not quite.
So he digs a shallow grave, puts him in the shallow grave, throws the dirt on him, pours gasoline on it, and lights it. Have I still got it right?
Yeah, it took me a day to even, talk about this shit. But yes, you're right.
And then they died. And the coroner said they were basically slow-cookered to death.
That's what's fucking me up. Now, I'm reading this shit in the paper, right? Okay? So this motherfucker is out on bail.
Well, that's the really fun part, because now we get to the procedural aspects of the case, Todd. And dude was charged with murder, as he should have been. But he and his pettifogging lawyer have pled the South Carolina Stand Your Ground law, and he's claiming that he burned them alive in self-defense.
Correct.
And because he's asserting that, the judge said, "Well, there ain't no way he's ever going to present his. The only way he can ever get away with this here is if he has a trial in court and presents his defense. So I'm going to let him out on bail." And so a guy who
shot.
He's a human being, and so I'm going to let a feller what shot two people, buried them in shallow graves, and slow-cookered them to death. I'm going to let him out on bail because he ain't no threat to the community.
Now, I have one question for you, Bob Kincaid. If let's say it was two college girls, two white college girls from an affluent Southern family, whose family goes to the First Baptist Church in whatever town they live in.
And maybe they were cheerleaders at Clemson.
Yeah, right, there you go. Right, with the nice smooth legs and all that, blah, blah, blah. Right, so let's say they're Ubering, you know, on the weekend, making a little extra money for beer on the weekends or whatever. And, you know, they're like, "Oh, let's pick up the guys at the strip club. We're going to get paid." Da, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he does that to them. Do you think he would get bailed?
They'd tear the damn jail down and haul him out and lynch him from an old oak tree.
I was just asking a question. I
wasn't yelling at you. I mean, you and I both know.
Listen, man, I live here. I haven't really been able to process this yet because they had to bring up, right before this article, they were talking about Officer Slager from North Charleston who shot the man running away.
Walter Scott, yes.
Right. Okay, so he is something going on with his case now. But, you know, what gets lost, every time I read an article related to that case, what people forget. This was all caught on video, and what people forget to describe, which I think is just as disgusting as what I would call a murder, is that the officer picked up his taser from another position, and after he shot the victim who was fleeing, he placed the taser next to his body. See? So, you know, and then another officer showed up on the scene and he saw him do it. You can see the whole thing on the video.
Oh, yeah.
To me, this is a problem with the culture.
No, I think that's fair. I think that's fair to say. And of course, then there's the story of the judge in Arkansas. Are you familiar with this one?
I'm not.
You're not going to be okay, Todd.
Uh-oh.
So there's this judge in Arkansas who, he's not a judge anymore. because it sort of came to light that he had this thing that he liked to do.
What kind of thing, Bob?
Well, he would have these men that got in trouble with the law, and he'd have them come over to his house.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Judge Joseph Beckman, Beckmann. Sat okay. in judgment of all kinds of criminal defendants, tried cases, and charged juries and whatever. There was a judicial complaint against him filed by a man who feared for his life. He's merely referred to by his initials, R.M. And he said that the judge told him to bring cans to his house. And then... just cans. And then Judge Beckman would photograph him as he bent over to pick them up and take pictures of his buttocks.
Oh, that's not good.
And he said that the judge told him repeatedly, you know, you won't have to pay that $500 court fine for a traffic ticket. Would you like a drink? You know what? Yeah. I would pay you $300 if you would pose like the Statue of David.
Okay.
I think I got to Todd this time.
So it
turns out that they raid the judge's house and they take his computer. And on the computer are literally thousands of photos that he has taken, close-up shots of men's buttocks or of men defendants in his court bending over. It is alleged that he also gave, you know, money checks to some of those defendants.
Oh, no.
The letter he got from the Judicial Commission says, they all depict young men, many naked, who are in various poses inside the judge's home and outside in his yards. There are numerous photos of naked young men bending over after an apparent paddling.
You know, it all started when the plumber came to his house when he was little, and he saw the plumber's crack, and it just messed him up for life.
Yeah. And this was under the guise of performing community service. Ron in Canada merely says, "Cheeky bastard." Would you like a cocktail? Just bend over. It's right over there. Click.
Oh.
No, I can see you getting a little bit hot. Maybe you'd like to take off your pants and get a paddling and get your sentence reduced.
Why does it seem like? I mean, I hate to generalize, but it always seems like the GOP people, and actually, I guess it's documented, if you remember that, I think his name was Larry Franklin, back in the 80s. He was a black GOP rising star, and he got caught up in that pedophilia ring in Congress with Boys Town. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. By the way, Jay Cruzen says, "Was that judge by any chance a Clinton appointee?" No, he was not. He's what we would call here in West Virginia a circuit judge. He's a trial court judge for a given county.
Mm-hmm.
The judge allegedly drove a minor charged with driving without a license to a local cemetery, where he also photographed the teenager bending down to pick up cans. According to the teen, Beckman said the pictures were taken to document the community service. A third defendant says he engaged in a sexual relationship with Beckman, posing in nude photos and allowing the judge to touch him so that he'd have more time to pay court fines. He didn't even get the fines wiped out. He just got more time to pay them.
Wow, what a cheap bastard.
in exchange for letting the judge grope him.
I wonder what's going on.
Now this is Arkenstan, Todd. So let's understand. I will give you dollars to donuts that this man believes in upstanding family values and that marriage is a sacred bond between one man and one woman, and that he don't want no transgenders going potty in his God-fearing upstanding restroom there in the courthouse.
Exactly. I don't think you can be a judge in the South unless you go to a church. I mean, that's not going to happen, probably.
But I have a question for the Goddess of Irony, and I know I'm on thin ice doing this, Todd. Why, Goddess of Irony, why could this have not been a story about Roy Moore in Alabama?
Time. Give it time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The Goddess of Irony is just toying with Roy Moore right now.
Wait, didn't they kick him off? They kicked him off.
No, he hasn't been kicked off yet. He's been charged. He's been suspended.
Okay. Well, don't get me started on this judge thing.
You know, this is, as Arthur points out, this is probably one of them judges that believes, one of them libertarian judges that believes in the barter system, as in, I'll spank you and you'll get reduced parking fines. See, that's how the barter economy works.
So, did you hear about this Wall Street Journal article pushing Bernie to go for an open election?
Say what?
Absolutely. So, you know, things are changing. We're in a tumultuous time, right? Obviously, it's a freak show. And if you remember a couple months ago, I made an analogy to the Hunger Games. And the reason I said that, it's this political time right now, but the Hunger Games, in that politics and reality TV and our culture have all merged together, because you got this buffoon, this fascist buffoon, no names, you figure it out. You know, somebody who's real, who tells the truth, who's been saying the same thing for years. And a consummate politician who is a desperate woman who will do anything and say anything to win. It's odd mixture. And look at what happened in your state. Now, the fascist guy, he's taking over, but you see, I think folks are watching too much television. And I'm going to be real brief with this, but you remember this. We're in the same age, man. When I was young, I was very young, but I always liked science and science fiction. And subliminal advertising and just subliminal suggestions got into like pop psychology in the early 70s. And then people just forgot about it. Even though it was vetted, it was empirical evidence, was proven. So when you couple that with the bit rate, the flash rate of these screens, right, on the television, you know, the fascist has got his symbolism down. He's always got the red, white, and blue behind him.
Yeah.
It's strange. But anyway, the reason I got into this is that I'm not giving up on Bernie.
Oh, hell no, I'm not either. I'm apparently, and this is telling, the Clinton campaign has been trying to save back some of the millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars that it raised from Wall Street, because it knows that it's going to need it to oppose T-Rump. But she's been getting thumped so regularly and routinely lately that they are going back on the air and spending a ton of money on the Kentucky primary, which is Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she loses Kentucky, that's going to be a big problem.
It is, because that's the last sure state she can get, maybe.
Yeah, that's her last gimme.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
And so if Bernie even pulls off a tie, that's a win there. Because she's not going to win. This is getting real interesting. If Bernie goes into California, and if California does the rest of the United States a really huge solid and landslides on her, then, well, now, doesn't the convention just get to be a lot of fun?
Exactly. People want, you know, it's just really, people are just starting to say, well, wait a minute, the momentum is behind Bernie. The excitement is behind Bernie. The process is different than emotion. The process is behind the secretary. That's, you know, we understand that. But the enthusiasm, I mean, she can barely fill up a damn little fucking rundown movie theater on the corner. You know, Bernie's got 30,000 people waiting to see him. So something is awry. Something is not right. And on the other side, think about it. The Republicans, something strange is going on with Paul Ryan, because why would he acquiesce and all of a sudden say...
No, well, Todd, there's nothing strange going on with Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan wants to be the GOP nominee.
That's what I'm getting to. He's like, well, I'll step down. Yeah, you want to step down because then you can run.
And we know he wants to be the GOP nominee because he says he doesn't want to be the GOP nominee, just like he said he didn't want to be Speaker of the House.
Right. Like he doesn't, you know, no, I don't want to fuck my wife. I don't want 10 kids. You know, yeah, well, sorry, but I'm just saying. You know, he's like the opposite person. Whatever he says, he's the opposite. You know? He's crazy, you know. I'm gonna tell you, and I don't. People, what the fuck are people thinking about? I remember he scares me. He's scared. I know that. I'm telling you, he scares me. He's a social Darwinist, and anybody who hands out books of Ayn Rand, and you're supposed to be educated, and you're still handing that shit out, and you know what that bitch is about. Come on, man, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Right.
Oh, well, maybe it's the word. I'm sorry if I got vulgar, but I just, you know, it's very upsetting to see these people so hypnotized. And, you know, you know, like you were saying about the water. Now, we're going to have a whole bunch of people growing up that have never tasted real spring water. Yeah. Real spring water. That's nice and sweet. Well,
Just a little bit of an update on Judge Joe Cans Beckman. There were 30 years of allegations against him.
What?
30 years.
Wait a minute, I didn't hear you right. Please repeat.
There were 30 years of allegations against him, apparently.
Okay.
He apparently joined the court. Well, let's see. The commission stated it believed that Beckman's behavior went back to the 1980s when he was county prosecutor of Cross County, Arkansas. This is the worst case of judicial misconduct in Arkansas history, in my opinion, said David Sakar, director of the Judicial Discipline and Disability Commission. Beckman's attorney declined comment.
Does it say if he's elected? Did he elect or did he appoint?
He went. Apparently, what I'm able to see with a cursory search here, he went on the court and he became a judge in 2009.
Well, wait a minute. He had all that baggage with him.
Because because circuit judges are apparently appointed by the governor in Arkansas. And, of course, in 2009, the governor of Arkansas was not Bill Clinton.
Wow.
I don't know. Was that Asa Hutchinson or who? I can't remember.
I don't remember. I lost track.
I'm sure upstanding Bible-believing former presidential candidate, pastor, brother, governor, diabetes, bogus cure salesman Mike Huckabee's known him for a while.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, because that is, the power elite is only so big in Arkansas. It's got to be, you know, it's a small ring of people. So I have one question about, I know other people are on the line, I guess, but So I'm thinking the parachute drop on the GOP. I think they had to say yes to Trump just because of the gun-toting liquor drinking people that are backing Trump. They had, you know, you have to do something with that energy. You can't just say no. But I'm still not convinced he's going to be the nominee. It's not over yet.
I think they don't nominate him at their own physical, mortal peril.
Yeah, well, exactly. They have the sword of Damocles now. See, they waited too long. But they can still write him out. There's a whole lot of dirt. There's so much dirt. I mean, remember, he didn't win his own neighbor. People who know him, he did not win his own area. His own community did not vote for him. And that's what I've been saying. You know him. You grew up in the Northeast. You know what a scumbag he is. He didn't just start being a scumbag. He's always been a scumbag. I'm telling you. And we played NEMA. Everybody who went to NEMA, they were either adjudicated by the court, basically, you're a young person, you're a teenager, your parents can't control you, and you're either going to jail, you're going to send you to the military school, or you were wealthy and out of control like him. And I'm telling you, everybody was an asshole. All those kids are assholes. Seriously. I mean, this is not new with him. This is not going to work out. Anyway, I hope you have some good water. And you know, if anybody's wondering why our government or how our government is messed up in a way, how is it that somebody's okay, all up the line, that fracking is okay? I mean, the minute I heard about it, I was like, no, that's a terrible idea. Injecting poisonous chemicals into the ground where you're supposed to get your pure water from? There was no good that can come from that, period. You know, and they're all surprised we have earthquakes and poison water now. Oh, look at this. I mean, come on, man. We're getting there. It's going to take a little while, but I think we're going to win. And remember, the left has almost always been right.
Amen to that, Todd. Good talking to you, my friend.
All right.
All right. And remember... Don't call any Clemson cheerleaders to take you home from the strip bar, okay? Because, you know, they'll work you over. Right? There's our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina's stand. So, let's see. 17 minutes past the hour, and... just note, we got $240 to go in order to trigger a complete coverage of Friday on the Front Porch. That's a pretty big deal, and $240 is hope. Given what we've been able to raise this evening, $240 hopefully is not impossible. And I will engage in a frenzy of bill paying. And look, it's the Queen of the Minions. It's Carol Baker. Hey, Carol.
Hello.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy, howdy to you, too.
What a lovely little Thursday it's been.
Yeah, all right.
So is Lake Hooterville still in its banks?
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, it stopped raining finally.
We had a lovely day here. I don't expect it to last.
It was just the most bizarre thing that I woke up to yesterday morning. I've never before seen the dawn break and see a double rainbow at dawn.
Oh, those photographs were gorgeous. Came.
And yeah, it was really beautiful, and they were reflected perfectly on the water. So
nice. And then of course the clouds lowered over your housetop.
And within 3 minutes it was gray outside and you couldn't see anything. I caught them just at the right second.
And the heavens opened.
And the heavens opened.
Much more of this and the Missouri will be out of its banks, won't it?
It's already out of its banks.
Oh, really?
They've already got flooding.
Because, you know, I was thinking about that earlier today when I was reading this story, Carol, about something I'd never heard of before.
Which was?
The Dakota Access Oil Pipeline. You ever heard of it?
No.
It's also referred to as the Bakken Pipeline.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
It goes through North Dakota, South Dakota. Cuts a diagonal all the way across Iowegia, and winds up in southern Illinois.
Yep.
Crosses under the Missouri River twice.
What could go wrong?
It's not like pipelines leak or anything.
Not at all. And it's not like the river moves itself every, you know, 20, 30 years and decide, you know, because water will go where water will go and there's nothing you can do to stop it.
As I was taught a long time ago, water will seek its level.
It will seek its level. And the Missouri River has a tendency to change course. And when it does, it takes a lot of things with it.
Well, see, among other things, there are people who get their drinking water from the Missouri River.
Like almost everybody in this area?
Yeah, and in particular, some Lakota people.
Well, you know, but those aren't white people.
Well, I know, but you know, bless their hearts, they're standing up to it, and they're calling it Keystone 3.
Yep, I hope they win. Because I'll tell you, when the pipeline came through our county, they held public meetings 75 miles away, and put ads and papers not here, so they legally gave notice, but. You know, none of us knew.
Yeah, they put the ads in the Johnson City Moral Volcano and Morning Glory of Freedom in East Tennessee, right?
I see you're familiar with it.
Exactly. Doug Crow Ghost is director of water resources for the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe in North Dakota. He said, even in South America and Canada, we've seen the devastation of a culture because of oil leaks and oil spills, and we just don't want that to happen here to us.
Yeah.
They've got a really cool organization. A really cool campaign called Respect, R-E-Z-P-E-C-T, Our Water. Respect Our Water.
Got it. I see what they did there.
I guess. So, you know, and that's, you know, there's a lesson there. You can never, and I resent this. You know, I really do. I really do, Carol. I resent this because... the people who are trying to protect their own lives and the lives of their friends and neighbors and communities, we never get a moment's rest.
No.
Because these predatory bastards are always there with one more way to try to kill us off.
That's exactly right. It's death by 1,000 paper cuts.
Or 1,000 miles of pipeline.
Exactly. And, you know, and when you're poor, you know, it's how can they call it a fight when the people that you're fighting, you know, have drones and state of the art, whatever, and you're fighting with a straw mat and an idea. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's genocide. It's not a war. It's genocide.
Well, I mean, not to try to make this about me, because that's not what I'm trying to do. But
it's all about you, Bob.
I'm such a damn diva.
I know.
But this USGS study that came out that definitively proves that these corporate bastards are poisoning, have poisoned a tributary that feeds into the new river above my water intake.
Mm-hmm.
Bastards. And see, it's a corporation with injection wells in 30 different damn states, Carol.
Yes, I know.
So how do you find them if you want to meet out? How do you even approach them to seek justice?
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I love how you laugh.
Yeah,
that wasn't even the Betty Rubble laugh.
No, that was the I'm so disgusted with this country laugh. Yes, and I've just so that you and some of the listeners know, I just got a message from Tim. He's like, your Facebook's all messed up. No, it isn't. It's been taken down.
Not struck down?
Not struck down by the Lord. Thank you, Gerald. No, it was taken down by me.
Yeah, you got tired of being castigated by Hilarians.
Exactly. You know, and of course, after I did it, the person who told me to shut up and stop whining and, you know, insinuated that I was a communist using teabagger talking points after she said all Bernie Sanders just wanted free stuff. I was like, okay, well, she wanted to know where I went. And I was like, if you lack such self-awareness then I can't explain this to you. So, Tim, there's nothing wrong with my Facebook. It's like that on purpose. I'm off social media until after the election or next year, or maybe never. I don't know. I don't care, because I'm happier with it just the way it is.
Well, let me ask you.
Sure.
And I don't want to be right about this, Carol.
Sure.
But what do we do? What do we do if Dr. First Lady, Senator Secretary Clinton, screws up and loses?
Well, then
what's going to happen to this country?
To quote the lady at the car rental counter in the movie Planes, Trains, Automobiles.
Uh-huh.
When she said, "Where's your ticket?" And he goes, "I fucking lost it." And she looked at him and she said, "You're fucked." Well, that's where we are. That's where we are, because there goes the Supreme Court. There goes everything.
And is it going to be our fault? You and me, us, we, Bernie?
Well, we're told we're the reason we can't have nice things when if they had listened to us, they would have. Found, and if they would have gotten on board with us, they would have found a very different reality.
But you did notice that Hillary is evolved. She's beaten the stuffing out of that evolve button again.
Yeah, until it becomes
she's gonna let us 50 somethings buy into Medicare.
Isn't that sweet? And until
what are we gonna buy into it with? Are we gonna pay for it with the hickory nuts that we were gonna spend on our entailment?
Hey, I have hickory nuts, and entitlements are a bad thing, aren't they?
they are indeed, Miss Scout, Jean Louise.
Sorry, I was going back. I had to laugh because the other night I was going through our family genealogy, and I found like a 3x great aunt. Her name was Ella May, and I was like, oh, so close.
Oh.
So close.
Yeah, you're dyslexic, right? Yeah. That's like last night with... I mean, it was like a revelation when I saw that IRNI signboard over that crucifix. IRNI. That's what they put over Nisus of Jazareth, Jing of the Qs.
I saw that. That was so funny. And the picture of Ferg hanging. Oh, his pose was so precious.
We were both almost struck down by the hilarity of it all, and it's right across, of course, from the Acme Pentecostal Church is right across from the Ajax Holiness Church, right? No. I couldn't, if that had been the case, I couldn't have taken it.
I'll tell you, that was a good story. But speaking of stories, did you see the George Zimmerman story today?
Yeah. Yeah, and I about couldn't take it.
Talk about a guy who completely lacks self-awareness.
Yeah, there's more of that moral center ethical bankruptcy stuff again.
Yeah, this is what the ad said. This is what pissed me off. Now, for those who are not with us here, he's trying to sell the gun on the open marketplace for firearms that he used to kill Trayvon Martin. And it wouldn't be so bad if he just sold the gun and got rid of it. But here's what his ad said. "I am honored and humbled to announce the sale of an American firearm icon. The firearm for sale is the firearm, I think it's a firearm, that was used to defend my life and in the brutal attack from Trayvon Martin on 2/26/12. Well, so you get to rewrite history and sell the gun all at the same time.
Well, the best part of it, I thought, was when he said, "I've had offers from the Smithsonian Institution."
Bullshit.
And then, of course, some intrepid journalist called the Smithsonian, and they said, "No, we have no interest in that piece of shit." And
exactly.
we've never even spoken to him. So, they say that by way of not having to say, he's a miserable liar.
Well, after the auction site took major shit from social media, they took it down, and it's been posted now by another website that's more than happy to put it up.
And he's going to donate the proceeds to fight the Bureau of Land Management and the Obama administration.
And the Black...
And Black Lives Matter, yes.
Who killed cops. In the auction listing, Zimmerman cited strong interest from collectors, including the Smithsonian Museum in Washington, D.C. Smithsonian spokesman John Evans denied any interest. The Smithsonian has never expressed an interest in collecting this firearm and has no intention of collecting or displaying the firearm.
Yeah, see, what it is what he was talking about was an offer that he received from Grand Dragon Kleagle Homer Smithsonian.
Or a guy from a town named Smith. So technically the guy was a Smithsonian.
Yeah, right, yeah. By the way, I'm being asked to mention the words maple match to you.
Maple match?
Yeah, I
got nothing.
That website that offers to pair up Americans with their potential homes in Canada.
Yes, Devin was nice enough to send that to me. Yes. Hey, listen, I'll become a Canadian. I'll marry anybody to get out of this country. Okay, not anybody.
Yeah, I mean, you're a little choosy.
Well, sort of.
But not too choosy.
Does he have a pulse?
So much for choosy.
Okay. I'd like it if he had a thick wallet and all of his hair, okay?
Wow.
Call me shallow.
All right. Now you're almost as big a deal. It's all about you, isn't it, Carol?
Today it is.
Oh, God almighty.
I know.
I look at all this stuff. I mean, the Henry Kissinger, I'm sorry. I usually don't like to go back and revisit, you know, just an aside that occurs in conversation. But that godforsaken Distinguished Service Award to Henry Kissinger.
For what? Could they be a little more, you know?
I mean, if it was a Distinguished Service Award from the military-industrial complex, and, you know, they gave it to him at the Pentagon, so maybe that's what it was, but I really think it needs to be spelled out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm weird because as soon as I found out that the Nixon tapes were available at the National Archives, I went online and started listening to them.
They're damned interesting. I've done the same thing. They're damned interesting, aren't they?
They are. And then when you get to the Henry Kissinger part, where, I mean, he talks flat out about lying about going into Laos and Cambodia. And they were like, well, a lot of people are going to die. And he's like, well, that's not our problem. You know, we'll find somebody to blame. It's right there in his own words. There's your service for you.
Indeed, indeed, indeed.
I know.
I mean, we've put people on trial in the Hague for a hell of a lot less than Henry Kissinger did, and that's the part that I really can't flesh out in my own mind is that. If this was the Romney administration,
mm-hmm.
If this was the McCain administration,
yes.
If it had been the Bush administration, Carol,
I know.
You look up and you go, oh well, you know, of course they gave Henry Kissinger a Distinguished Service Award. You know, they're as bloodthirsty as he is.
I know.
But this is the Obama administration. And the Democratic nominee is going to be his protege.
Yeah.
And I'll probably get emails, Carol, about, well, what did you expect out of the Democratic Party? Goddamn, Bob. What are you, baby?
but, I mean, do you understand why I've got cognitive dissonance over this?
You're not the one with the cognitive dissonance.
I think I feel better about that now.
The people who gave it to him are the ones with the cognitive dissonance.
And
you do get that, right?
Yeah, I hope I do. I mean, it wasn't even a page A62 story in the New York Times. I mean, what? So you can't just say it's the Obama administration.
I know.
I mean, the generation that helped bring the Vietnam War to a close, although, you know, an argument could be made that really didn't, because, I mean, they were just a protest, and Nixon and Kissinger kept on bombing.
You know what? You need a Thorazine dart and just...
Thorazine dart and a shot of, you know, of you know, 100 proof brown liquor. Honest to Pete.
And a blunt.
But I mean, every adult in the so-called left, which was actually much more vibrant in the early to mid 70s than it is now, knew that Henry Kissinger was a war criminal.
Sure.
And a whole bunch of them are hilarians now, and they're going, well, I mean, it, he's an old man.
Right.
And I just, you know, what the, how do you, whew. Yeah, Thorazine, yeah, it's time to, where is that U-shaped blowgun with the U-shaped darts?
Well... I read an interesting article in The Intercept, and they were talking about Henry Kissinger's war crimes being central to the divide between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. And
well, it's kind of the essence, isn't it?
Well, sure, because they want to treat him like he's an elder statesman, and we know that he's a pariah who's been laid bare on major foreign policy. And they, obviously, Clinton and Sanders are at the opposite end of the divide, because Hillary never met a war she wouldn't vote for. And Bernie thinks that, you know, contrary to what I've been told or accused of, that all Sanders supporters just want free stuff, then I have to once again sit down and explain to them that, no, we just want the tax money that we're paying to pay for things that help actual American average citizens, yeah, rather than
nobody wants anything for free. We damn well want to pay for it, but we want it to be there to pay for.
But we don't want all the money going to pay for wars that just make rich men richer, while kids with absolutely no opportunity or place to go end up joining the military. Because that's what most of the kids around here did.
Oh, and one other question, or just another question. Since Hillary is now open to letting people our age in our, you know, in our decade buy into Medicare.
Sure.
What the hell's wrong with letting everybody into Medicare and thereby dramatically lowering the cost and risk pool?
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, wouldn't that be healthier for Medicare in the long run?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the economist who accused Bernie of his pie in the sky ideas, who said that his idea of Medicare for all would bankrupt the country, has now come full circle. And, you know, in Section B, page 42, on the left hand side in the gutter, there's a 2-inch story saying, oh, we forgot to factor in the cost savings. It would actually save everybody money.
Silly us, we forgot.
Oopsie. Silly us. But yet nobody wants to talk about that.
Because...
And that's why I don't talk to people anymore, because if they're hillbillies, then nothing you say is going to convince them. I'm just making it all up when I've never made anything up before, so I can't imagine why
right.
they think
yeah.
I'm doing that, but you know.
Well, I mean, that's why I played that clip when I was talking to Jim. That's why I played that clip of Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
That was the headline maker.
Yes, it
voting for Hillary is like voting for Mr. T. Anybody but Trump.
Exactly.
But meanwhile, as I mentioned talking to Angry last night, meanwhile, you've got her, you've got a guy that gave $13 million to Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, who's now given $7 million to Hillary.
Yep.
And there's a full-on campaign to reach out to Bush donors.
Mm-hmm. You should probably get it, too.
But unstated in all of that, Carol, is something else. The Hillary campaign knows that they could never run the fundraising model that Bernie is running because there aren't enough people who believe in her that much for that to work.
Well, but that kind of goes back to Kissinger. You know, she claims that he was her mentor, but come on, this was a guy who extended the Vietnam War. He was the guy who laid the path to the Khmer Rouge killing fields. He was the guy who stage managed the genocide in East Timor. He overthrew the democratically elected left-wing government in Chile. And he's the guy who encouraged Nixon to wiretap his political adversaries.
I mean, When they were busy indicting Haldeman and Ehrlichman and Jeb Stuart Magruder and mm-hmm. and Chuck Colson and John Mitchell and John Dean, how the hell did they miss Hank?
I don't know, because I'll tell you what, they were all a bunch of slimy, dirty bastards, but. You know, to those of us who are old enough to remember all that stuff as it was happening live every day on our TV sets and, you know, and the Senate hearings that were on all day, every day, you know, and remember Sam Ervin?
I was, I've got one particular memory that's still there on the hard drive. In the summer, I walked, my mother and I would walk, because my dad had the car at work, and so we would walk up to the baseball field where I played, you know, baseball,
mm-hmm.
in a little league. And I remember trudging back, and I carried all my catcher's equipment with me, and that was a load of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And in the summer in Alabama, it's right hot to wear all your catching gear all the way home, so it got got lugged. And getting home and turning on the TV and the hearings were on. And so I'm maybe 10.
Yeah. That 11. Probably would have bored you. Yeah.
No, it did not bore me.
Oh, it didn't.
Because
you're
my mother,
nerd.
My mother sat down to watch it and I sat down with her. And I said, I'm going to go out and play. And she said, no, I think you really want to sit and watch this.
Mm-hmm.
And then she began explaining to me what had happened and what was going on in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute I understood that, I sat in rapt attention watching. And maybe one of the reasons that is so thoroughly burned into my memory is because about 10 years later, not much more than that, I would be working at CNN.
Oh.
When the Iran-Contra hearings were going on.
Oh, my.
And I remember sitting there and watching that odious pettifogger for Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North saying, "Senator, I am not a potted plant."
I remember that.
And just because I was, you know, I was full on politically active and motivated by then, and I was also a young journalist. And I remember just sort of, you know, what, you know, how are we not impeaching this bastard?
Exactly.
And thinking back directly to Richard M. Nixon,
mm-hmm.
whose crimes were hardly more obvious than those of Ronald Wilson Reagan.
That's right. whose name is invoked by Jesus by every Republican.
And so, Kissinger was doing his consulting work during that era as well.
Absolutely.
And of course, let's remember, Kissinger was a dear friend of Bill Clinton too.
Yes, he was.
And one of the reasons, and this is all prologue or preface, I guess. I think one of the reasons that Bill Clinton has become so nasty out on the campaign trail, both in the 2008 and 2016 campaigns, mm-hmm. is because he knows that a lot of us have gotten wise to him. And yes. we realize he never was a Democratic president, that he was the best moderate Republican president since Eisenhower.
That's right.
And so what we're watching now is a dynamic struggle for the soul of the Democratic Party between the Clintonians and those of us who have some allegiance to the Democratic Party that they helped or tried to take out behind the barn and axe handle to death.
That's right.
The Democratic Party of FDR, of JFK, of Harry Truman, of LBJ.
Mm-hmm. Not so much LBJ, but...
Well, but I mean, the Great Society, sure. You know, Vietnam was LBJ's albatross around his neck. It was a millstone.
It was.
And had he wisely gotten out of Vietnam instead of escalating, mm-hmm. but by the same token, you can easily imagine him going, "Wow, they killed my boss for wanting to get out of Vietnam." I'd like to keep on breathing.
And I believe that he listened to a whole lot of generals.
Sure he did.
Who were very, very convincing.
But
the same problem President Not Sure has had.
That party, I mean, remember, John Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy came to the coal fields of West Virginia back when there were 100,000 people living in McDowell County, where there are less than 20,000 today, when Bernie visited. And coal was king back then, and coal was booming, Carol. And you know what? There was no prosperity to be found.
That's right.
The first, I think the first person to receive Social Security, maybe, or some other program, was a poverty-stricken coal miner from Appalachia.
I believe that.
I say all of this because the Democrat, we've got ringside seats to the demise of the Democratic Party.
Sure.
And if we come
out... I think we have ringside seats to the demise of our country right now.
I think we've had those ringside seats for a while, frankly.
Yeah, well, is there no intermission?
No, and I think there's a fresh batch of popcorn out there. That's why I keep hollering this. Trump is a headlong sprint into the abyss.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary is a leisurely stroll into the abyss, yes. And Bernie is, what do you say we not go into the abyss? So we've got
and I can't help it. He is such a fundamentally decent human being.
Yeah.
And he has gone into this with no backing from the DNC, no backing from the mainstream media, no backing from super PACs. And she is so close to losing. She really is.
And let me just say this, Carol. Whatever decency remains in the American psyche
resides in him
and the people who back him.
That's right. I know when I see a Bernie avatar or Bernie sticker somewhere, that is somebody who thinks exactly the same way I do. And I'm not just talking about on a single issue.
I mean, that's not to say that a billionaire hedge fund manager wouldn't be perfectly delightful to go out and play golf with, and then come in and play a rubber of bridge with. but they do not understand the essential problems that the American people face.
No, they don't.
Not because they want to, because they can't. It is impossible for them to.
Well, and moreover, they don't understand how expensive it is to be poor.
Well, there's tonight's toaster. Not funny, but too true not to toaster it.
It is extraordinarily expensive to be poor.
Well, look at those, because none of those were wealthy men. The judge wanted to, just come on up here to my house and bring some cans. I'm going to take some pictures of your butt while you're picking up cans, because it turns me on in my Christian, in my God-fearing, upstanding Christian manly place. Those were not wealthy people. No. It was extremely, it cost them their essential human dignity to bow down before that man. You're absolutely right, Carol. It is incredibly expensive to be poor.
Yes, on every level. It is soul-crushing. It is financially expensive, because every crisis is at the expense of something else that will end up costing you more money because you couldn't pay that.
Okay, you know, I got one more example.
Okay.
Working on this theme that you have opened for us.
Okay.
Her name was Sheila Breck.
All right.
She was on her way to pick up her daughter from work on September 23rd in Indiana, when an ambulance slammed into her SUV doing 85 miles an hour. She was killed. An emergency crew responding to the crash in Hancock County called in a medevac chopper for Sheila Breck, who was 64 years old, and died before the chopper could get there. April Breck, her daughter, said, "About a week later, I was trying to deal with all the insurance issues, car insurance issues, and PHI, the air ambulance company, started calling me and telling me she had this bill for $25,000. The company, when they got called out on it, the company issued a statement saying that they were assessed a fee for the base rate. If our helicopter and crew have been called to a scene to provide critical care services to a patient in need, this means we have incurred costs on our end to provide this specialized care.
$25,000 worth?
$25,000 worth. Now, if you want to understand what it means when you say it's extremely expensive to be poor, hell, it's brutally expensive to be dead.
Yeah.
And how much simpler would it be if we had a healthcare system in this country, and if we had people who were public servants paid a good living wage who could fly helicopters to crash scenes?
Yes.
And that would be part of our universal single payer healthcare system.
Yep.
I mean, that's obscene, Carol.
It is obscene, but it's all part of, you know, infrastructure isn't just bridges and roads. Infrastructure is building a nation and providing jobs. I dig through my family genealogy, I look at all of these occupations that'll say WPA after them.
Yep.
And I see how parts, branches of my family were pulled from the clutches of bone-crushing poverty by FDR. And look at how strong we were for 30 years.
Well, that's what I meant Friday night when I told Chris Hayes that this is a population old enough in West Virginia that we remember what we were told about how the policies of FDR, which are so recognizable in the policies of Bernie Sanders, literally saved our lives.
Yes.
No, I mean, it is that stark, Carol. No FDR, no Bob Kincaid.
No Carol Baker.
No most of this country. And yet, have you ever heard Hillary Clinton say a decent word about FDR?
No. No. And people act like Bernie is such an anomaly, that this democratic socialist is commie. And I'm sitting there going, well, what are you talking about? We've already elected a democratic socialist, FDR. This is the reincarnation, except he walks upright. And talks just as funny.
Maybe funnier.
Maybe funnier, but...
You know, back before I got my haircut, I was thinking about going down to the Bernie rally in Charleston, and you know, getting press credentials and all that stuff, and just saying, you know, I just as a hillbilly with wild hair, I wanted to welcome you to wild, wonderful West Virginia.
You cleaned up good.
Well, I think I did. I don't know. The haircut's not working out. Ferg accused me of looking like Tintin today. Because I've got this little tuft that just stands up in the middle now.
Well, I self-inflicted a haircut on myself the other day.
Oh, never cut your own hair.
I've always cut my own hair.
Well, maybe that's on the other X chromosome. Men are not allowed to do that. I mean, you know, Agnes does it too. I mean, she just grows eyeballs in the back of her head, actually in the small of her back, and she just looks up and, you know, right. But I had it explained to me early on, like age of four, do not cut your own hair.
Well, that's, I think, of either gender, when you're four, you shouldn't be cutting your own hair.
Although I saw something cool the other day. I saw a samurai barber.
Okay.
He literally cuts hair with samurai swords.
Oh, cool. Can we take Donald Trump down there and...
Just a samurai barber drunk? Yeah, just take about 8 inches off the top. By the way, Sparky just posted in the chat room, Carol, Bernie said FDR needs to be on Mount Rushmore.
He does.
Yep.
He does. Talk about a man who saved the nation. He really did.
And whether we realize it or not, this nation is badly in need of saving once again.
Yes, it is. And not from the secret Kenyan Muslim.
Oh, Jesus.
I know.
Funny moment before we wrap up.
Yes?
We were driving by a car lot the other day while we were in Charleston.
Yes?
And I pointed to a vehicle and I said to Ferg, I said, I like those trucks. And he said, what is that, Dad? I said, it's a GMC Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, oh, no, Dad. We could never have one of those.
Why?
I said, well, why not? He said, come on, where do we live? You're actually, you would actually buy a truck called a Canyon? They'd slash the tires the first night we had it.
Oh, yeah.
I have to work on my enunciation, I think.
Well, that's okay. I had a guy call me and tell me he was going to come look at a truck we had on the lot. He was going to bring his wife, and they were going to come dig her. And I was like, not on my lot.
Yeah. It's always lovely having you out here with me on the ledge, Carol.
Indeed.
You know, I think you just missed that Republican with your cigarette butt by scant centimeters.
That's okay. I still got a loogie in reserve here. So
well, you gotta lead them a little bit. Take the windage into account. Adjust your azimuth.
The air is calm.
Oh yeah, there'll be a dry cleaning bill for that. Carol Baker, well, out there in fabulous Hooterville, thank you very much for the conversation. We'll talk soon. Have a lovely evening.
You too, my friend. Have a good night.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
The one and only Queen of the Minions, Carol Baker. And we wrap things up, and thank you very kindly to Rusty Thank you very much, Rusty in Colorado, for taking us down to $190 to go. We've got from now to the beginning of the program tomorrow evening, and if we can get $190 in, then the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society will cover Friday on the front porch, courtesy of CEO Harold. Thank you very, very much. Hopefully we can do that. And thanks for as much help as we've gotten this evening. That has been monumental. It's been tough catching up, but I think we've got a fighting chance. You guys have a wonderful evening, and Friday on the front porch tomorrow. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this go. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.